Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. Matthew, chapter 11. We'll read verses 1 through 5 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew, chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. Matthew, chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. And let's finish on verse 5 together. Ready? The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Lord, thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit here. Lord, though you have blessed us so much, and though you have been pleased with what happens thus far, we need the preaching of the Word of God. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us as we listen. Change our hearts. Change our lives so we could reach more people for you and for your kingdom, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I promise that I'll be brief this evening. I want you to listen very carefully. Let's limit the interruptions if we could, please. In Matthew chapter 11, we see a story being told. In verse 5, in verse 4, it says, Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Here, we see that someone is reminded of who Jesus is. They say, you just make sure that it is said, or they're reminded that the gospel is preached unto the poor. One of the wonderful things about the coming of Jesus Christ is that Jesus had such an interest in the poor, had an interest in helping people. So you all know, compared to heaven, we're all poor. And when it comes to righteousness, compared to Jesus, we're all in pretty poor shape, too. Well, I'm glad that they referred, or this reference is made, to go tell them that the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Tonight, I want to tell you the story, a little history behind a Christmas tradition. What I have here, this is my Christmas stocking. My mom made this for me in our family. Mom has always been a seamstress and a sewer, and she makes one for everybody. When the grandbabies are born, she makes one and puts their name on it. And that's my Christmas stocking. Now, when I was growing up, it said Jeff. Now they just call me Dad. I don't have a name anymore. I'm either Dad, Grandpa, or I'm the money man, actually, in the family. So, but that's my stocking. And we use that, and it won't be many days now. I'll get something in my stocking. I hope it's not coal. The Christmas stocking of today, though, they're not exactly what they started out to be many years ago. Today, they're large and ornate, but back in history when it all started, this idea of the Christmas stocking, it all started with a plain sock. Let me tell you what it's about. The hanging of the sock on the fireplace started as a mundane but very necessary nightly ritual. They did it during the Great Depression. Even before then, in Europe, the poor families were forced to hand wash their clothes each night. They would then hang, after hand washing their clothes, they would hang them by the fire so that they would be dry for the next day. See, folks, only the wealthy had more than one change of clothes. I tell you where we're at today. Right. Only the wealthy had more than one change of clothes, especially was this process of washing your clothes and hanging it by the mantle or the fire to dry. It was especially necessary when it came to your socks, because socks were extremely precious. The poor only owned one pair of socks. They were very precious, very important. And any of you know, your feet, and you get to walking and working and whatever you're doing, if your feet aren't comfortable, you're in trouble. And so they would wash their clothes out, hang it by the mantle. The fire through the night would dry it so they could wake up the next morning and put those clean socks on. During the cold month of December, and especially in Europe, those dry socks were essential. Last thing you want is to put your socks on, and though they may be clean, for them yet to be a little wet. And so that sock hanging through the night to dry was extremely important. The story is told of a man whose wife suddenly and tragically died. He had three daughters. Now he's about to finish rearing his three daughters by himself. His wife is gone. They were very, very poor. They were poor before the wife passed, but now it's made it even worse. And as the story is told, this husband, this daddy, and his three daughters were virtually starving to death. They were desperate. It was so bad that this father had considered selling one of his daughters into servitude to raise enough money to help the other two daughters get married. What it would do is if he could get enough money from the oldest, maybe he could get that money, give it to the two younger, and they would have a dowry. They would have something to offer a man, and they would get married. With that dowry, maybe the two younger daughters could then marry, and he thought, maybe then my two younger daughters could escape this devastating poverty in which we live. Well, he was about to actually close the deal. He had found a wealthy family that he was going to sell his daughter, and she was going to go and work like a slave in their house, and he was about to close the deal. And at the last minute, he broke down in tears, knowing that in the next day or so, she would have to be gone. That night, he put his daughters to bed. He prayed, and he said, "Dear God, please, please, you've got to help me. I've got to be able to help my daughters." He felt that the daughters were basically doomed unless something happened. The man was a bit depressed. He was a bit hopeless about this whole scenario. He got on his knees and prayed that night. It was the month of December, very, very cold. And as was their custom, before those girls went to bed, they washed out their only pair of socks. They put the socks, they hung them by the mantle of the fireplace where they were to dry, and they all went to bed. A good man in that town had heard of this poor family's terrible situation. This man and his family had money, and they had money to spare. That night, God spoke to the good man's heart. He went to the home of these poor people. He pushed open the window in their living room. He snuck in. He took a gold coin, and he stuck it into the sock of the oldest daughter that was about to be sold. When she woke up the next morning, she went to get her socks on. When she put her foot down inside that sock, she found the gold coin. The father, he praised God, and he said, "God has answered my prayer." You see, that gold coin would become her dowry. Now, he would not have to sell her into servitude. The wealthy man heard of all the jubilation of this poor man and his daughters, and it didn't take long until the rich man had figured out a way to get a coin in the sock of each of the other two girls as they slept during the night. That's where the Christmas stocking tradition started. Parents then of poor children would place an orange in their child's sock as a Christmas gift. The orange was to symbolize a gold coin that a good man had provided. It just pictured prosperity. I love that story. I love the fact that God moved in a man's heart to use him to answer a poor man's prayer. You know, I never realized the history behind it, and you may not like it. We use stockings at our house, and we put things in it for the kids through the years. Anybody that knows me that we keep Christmas all about Jesus, and we don't get into the commercialization, and, you know, I don't go around, we don't promote the fat man in the red suit, and if we did talk about him, he'd be like any other cartoon character, like Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse, but I thank God for the story. I do not know exactly how much validity there is in the story, but if that indeed is a true story, I'll tell you this, when I read it, when I found it, it touched my heart. It touched my heart. You know, I think God could probably use all of us to meet the need of someone this Christmas. Let me talk to you for just a moment more about a Christmas sock. A Christmas sock. You say, well, Brother Holmes, what could I do? I wonder if in the sock of someone's life we could not put some joy. I wonder if we couldn't put some joy. In Luke chapter 2, verse number 10, it says, I bring you good tidings of great joy. You know what God wanted? God wanted this time of the year to bring special joy. It's in a special way. It's joyous that Jesus has come. But folks, why don't we do this? Why don't those of us that are born again Christians, why don't those of us that are a part of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, why don't we spread some cheer and spread some joy at this time of the year? Hey, when you come across those that are discouraged, why don't you encourage them? There are people out there that are going to need a little extra dose of encouragement right now. Some face extra heartaches right now. Hey, while you're with the family, if you can make them laugh, make them laugh. Hey, if you can head off those, sometimes those little disagreements that take place at the family get-together, why don't you do that? Hey, don't make it that you're the one that spoils somebody else's Christmas. Why don't you make it that you're the one that makes it a little extra special? Bring some joy into someone's life. Lift their spirit. Hey, why don't you take some joy and put it in somebody's Christmas sock? Because there's somebody that is, maybe they're poor in regard to this element called joy. And you can cheer them. You say, well, how can I cheer them? Look, if you're saved, you have a lot to be cheerful about. And listen, did you hear what I said earlier? During the time of the Great Depression and the days of poverty back in Europe, they had one change of clothes. America does not understand poverty. You and I don't understand doing without. We have so many clothes, we just don't know where to store them all. Look, and we're even richer than that. We're not just rich in regard to those things that we have monetarily. You and I are rich in Christ Jesus, and we're rich in the joy of the Lord. You know, there are people out there, they're looking at the world right now, and they look at the economy right now, and they look at the nation right now, and they look at the politics right now, and they're bummed out. They're flat out, they are so depressed. Well, wait a minute. I've got good news for them. Jesus is still alive, and God's still on the throne. And you and I could put joy in somebody's Christmas sock. Not only that, I think we could put love in somebody's Christmas sock. 1 Peter 1:22 says that you love one another with a pure heart. Could I recommend something to you? Could I recommend that you... There's somebody out there that's needy. There's somebody out there that's starving for joy. There's somebody that's starving, like those three daughters and that man, starving for love. This world really doesn't know much about love anymore. It's been transferred into lust, and it's not pure anymore. And here the Bible talks about loving someone with a pure heart. That's where you love them and you don't want anything in exchange. You have no ulterior motive. You're not loving her for what you can get out of her, and you're not loving him because you want something later. You're loving because God told you to love. And there's somebody out there that's starved for love. Why don't you put love in their Christmas sock? Tell you something that you might enjoy. Think of somebody in the family. Think of somebody, an old friend. Give them a call. Wish them a Merry Christmas. But before you get off the phone, say this. I also want to call and tell you, I love you. Oh, what powerful words. I love you. There are husbands here. While you give those gifts at Christmas, why don't you also tell your wife, I love you, sweetheart. There are wives here that ought to turn to your husbands, and as we prepare Christmas dinner, take a moment, look him right square in the eyes, and say, I love you. Parents, let's tell our children that we love them. Children, let's tell our parents. Tell them that you love them. Somebody here ought to write a love note because you could put that in somebody's Christmas sock. I promise you, this old world starved for pure love. This whole world is destitute of pure love. Tell somebody you haven't told in a while. Tell them, I love you. You see, we could put joy in somebody's Christmas sock. We could put love in somebody's Christmas sock. But not only that, I think we could put some kindness in somebody's Christmas sock. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another. But sometimes, can't help it. Brother Smith, I get angry at how mean people can be at people. Why does the human race have to be so heartless? Why do people have to treat one another in the way that they do? And on behalf of God, maybe I'd apologize to the human race. And God never intended for humans to be mean to one another. Somebody needs some kindness. Young people, why don't you go shovel a neighbor's walk and take the snow off their walk but don't look to get any money for it? Why don't you make some Christmas cookies and take it by that mean person up the block? Do something kind for somebody. Watch for a chance to be kind when you're out and about. Help someone carry their groceries. That is, if they want you to. Don't grab them and start carrying if they don't want you to. You're liable to get tasered or something, you know. Some little old lady's going to pull her 357 and teach you to run off with her groceries. But you know what we could do? There are people that are starved for kindness. And can I remind you of something? The most curt and the most rude people that you come across, I promise you, if somebody would be kind, and I mean sincerely kind, you might change their day. You might just change their day. Look, we could put joy in someone's Christmas sock, and we could put love in somebody's Christmas sock, and we could put kindness in somebody's Christmas sock. See, just like the story of the history of that Christmas stocking, you look back and there's some people that were starving. They didn't have what they needed. Thank God somebody that had what they needed was able to share with those that did not. I suppose we could put food in somebody's Christmas sock. There's somebody in here, you could go buy a turkey or a ham and just go give it to someone that they might have it for Christmas. You could go buy a pie, or if you can make one that tastes good, make one and take it by. You say, I can't make pie, then buy it, baby. I would not take any chances. You're trying to do something nice for them, not kill them. You know, you could take a little food out of your own cupboard and find someone. Just give it to them. You could feed a beggar. You say, what? I would feel very uncomfortable. How uncomfortable do you think they feel living on the street, under a bridge, or in a cardboard box? Now, I'd recommend that you not give them money. Many a time, I'll see someone out on the street begging, and I'll run by McDonald's, buy them a couple sandwiches, take it by to them. We could put food in somebody's sock. We could put joy in somebody's sock. We could put love in somebody's sock. We could put kindness in somebody's sock. We could put money in somebody's sock. Sometimes you don't know what it means to just slip somebody a $5 bill. I know this. There have been a few times in my life when Mrs. Owens and I can remember. Oh, boy, when we first got in the ministry, back when I was a Bible college student, I'll tell you what, I remember one day going to my overcoat and somebody had put a $5 bill in my overcoat. It was the only money that I had to my name at that moment. And I thought, oh my. Sometimes you just don't know how much a $5 bill could mean to somebody. Recently, some people in our church were very generous and they said, Preacher, we want to try to help some folks. And they come up with some money. And we've been able to, we've fed about 15 families now because somebody was kind and generous, put shoes on somebody's feet. I'm not talking about somebody that's got 20 pair of shoes and they just wanted a different color and a different style. I'm talking about somebody who would say, "Preacher, I don't have any shoes." You might not notice it. You might not see it. But folks, there are people who need somebody to understand what Christmas is really all about. Put a little money in that sock. Somebody had said to me, "Preacher, will you help somebody?" Young lady, her mom and dad on the mission field, 8,000 miles away, and she'll spend Christmas away from her mom and dad here in the States. I mean, as poor as poor could be, a missionary's daughter. I seen her for a moment this week, and I took some money out of my wallet, and I handed it to her, and I said, "I want you to use this and do some Christmas shopping for somebody." And she said, "Oh, Brother Owens, I couldn't accept that." I said, "I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have any money to buy anybody anything?" She said, "No." I said, "Well, you take this money and you go buy something for somebody." She turned her face. She started crying. Wasn't much. I just put a little money in somebody's Christmas sock. You know, we could put salvation in somebody's Christmas sock. Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." You and I are saved. We know how to get somebody saved. Wouldn't it be a precious thing that we could see somebody get born again as a result of our intent at this Christmas time? He was poor. His daughters were poor. Somebody generous enough put a gold coin in the sock. That's where the tradition came from. We could put kindness in the sock. We could help someone get salvation in their sock. Love or joy or food. What we could put in the sock. I'm going to do something a little odd tonight. I'm going to take an offering. Tell you two things that I'd like to do. First of all, we're going to take a little offering tonight, and we're going to take the money, and we're going to go down to Martinsburg Rescue Mission. I'm going to make sure all the men have new socks. And you say, "What's the big deal?" I don't think you understand. When you live on the street and you don't have any place to live, usually things like new socks you don't have. And I'm going to go down and make sure all the men have socks for on their feet. There's something else I'd like to do. One of our missionaries, his name is Brother McClurg. He's a missionary in New Mexico on the Navajo Indian Reservation. Oh, the poverty that's there. 200,000 Indians. He and his family live right with them. I mean, and live virtually just like them. I've been there more than once. Very poor. This missionary is very poor. This missionary on the Indian reservation is more poor than some of the missionaries that are on those cornfields, third world countries. My phone rang just a day or two ago, and it was Brother McClurg. He called. He said, "Brother Owens, you prayed for me." He said, "My boy passed away today." He said, "I don't know how we're going to afford the funeral." He said, "But you pray for me, Brother Owens, if you will." And I thought, well, we might need to pass the sock. We might just need to pass the sock. Ushers, would you come for me? We're going to put socks on the feet of men who might not have them. And we're actually going to pass the socks. Father, I realize there are people here that can't give. I believe that, Lord. Probably somebody can't even feed themselves. But Lord, tonight, whatever pennies or nickels or quarters, whatever's given, we're going to find the neediest of people in this town, and I think that's probably the men down at the mission. We're going to put some socks on their feet. And we're going to do a little something for a missionary family who will spend Christmas with a boy that's just been buried. Now, Father, bless the offering, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just so you know, these are brand new socks. You don't have to worry. They're not dirty. I didn't gather them before the service. Just put the money in the sock and pass the sock along. And just as the story of the man whose wife died, somebody put a gold coin in the sock because somebody cared. If we can, we'll do something for Brother McClurg, his family. Deacons, we may give you a call at the beginning of the week. I'll talk to you about if maybe we can figure out how much money we bring in tonight, and then maybe we can add a little bit to it from our missions account. Let me remind all of us. As I tell the story of the time of the Great Depression and how so many people just didn't have what they need. This time in the economic downturn in America is nothing like the Great Depression that took place. We're just so spoiled. We think if we've got to go down to, you know, one car from three that we're poverty stricken. We think that somehow that, you know, if we have to back off and drink water instead of soda all the time, that we are sacrificing. Now, I think America does not understand sacrifice much anymore. I loved what it was said. Jesus said, you go tell them that you hear that the gospel is being preached to the poor. Jesus said, John will immediately recognize who I am because Jesus cares about people like that. Jesus cares about people with heartaches and burdens, and he especially cares for the poor. Keep those socks moving, folks. We can put joy in somebody's sock. We can put love in somebody's sock. We can put kindness in somebody's sock. Oh, there's so much that we could do and we ought to do. And you're a generous group of people. I almost did not come and ask, but I just felt for sure the Lord wanted me to do this tonight. I just know that God wanted me to do this tonight. I think we're going to put socks on some men's feet. If you've ever been down to the mission, if you've ever seen the street people and the people that live down there, a new pair of socks will be very precious to them. Very precious to them. And to anybody here that has ever lost a child, they could tell you, for someone to say, I love you right now, is going to mean an awful lot. Can you imagine losing your child 1 week before Christmas? I cannot. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I would be wrong if I did not take a moment and have an invitation.